Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Numbers, chapter 24. Numbers, chapter 24. And I want to look at verse 17. Oh, by the way, I'm glad Brother Bruce also got the memo today, the tie memo. What are the chances of this ever happening again, Bruce? You and I wear the same tie. That's right. That's exactly right. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Verse 17. The Bible says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Shall we pray? Father, this morning, as we bow to you before you in prayer, we're grateful for thy sweet presence in our service today. We thank you for the music that has redounded to the glory of God and the lovely and high lifted up name of Jesus has been exalted today in this service. And Father, that's really what it's all about. I pray, Heavenly Father, now your blessings upon this preaching time. I do pray for all of the prayer requests that's been shared with us this morning. And I also would single out to pray today for Brenda Hauser, my former commander's sister. We ask you, Lord, to touch her. Give her healing and recovery, if it be thy will, and help her at this time of her life, we pray. Now bless us at this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I look at this passage of Scripture, of course, there's a lot of ways we could approach it, a lot of titles that we could ascribe to this particular portion of God's Word. And by the way, before I go any further, there's one other individual I need to acknowledge today. It's good to have Brother Jet Lag Tim back with us. Brother Tim travels constantly and doing missions work for God, and he's touching down on about every continent and every country. You don't have too many more left to go, do you, Brother Tim? Not many. Anyway, all right, let me try to come back, try to get serious again if we can. As we look at Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, I simply want to use a very practical, simple Christmas title, Christmas theme, namely this, the Christmas star. The Christmas star. The Bible says there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Interestingly enough, these prophetic words were uttered by an individual who wasn't the best example of a prophet, but yet he is listed among the prophets of old. I'm talking about Balaam, the hireling prophet. He utters these words concerning the star out of Jacob. Several years ago, Carol and I visited, we were in California, and we went over to Hollywood and saw the Hollywood Walk of Stars there in Hollywood, the prints of several of the Hollywood stars inscribed there in the cement, and then the spatial attention that was given to all of the various Hollywood movie stars that had passed through that area that had been a movie star at some time. But now, when you think of that and compare that truth with what we read here, I would be quick to say today, all of those Hollywood stars, they have a short-lived fame. But if I understand the Bible, I would say today that this coming star has eternal fame. And we know who he is, don't we? We know who he is. So here we see in this passage of Scripture, we see prophetic scripture. We see here a reference to the coming Messiah and the ultimate triumph that will one day take place upon this earth when the Son of God himself reigns. Now in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, we read there the account of the visiting of the place where Christ was born. We know the Magi in the east saw the star, as recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2. The star pointed, I believe, to the star born in Bethlehem. This star, we know, came from royal lineage, the lineage of Jacob. This star is destined to bear the royal scepter as a king of Israel. He will, in fact, be king over this earth. There's coming a time, and I say this quite often, but I say it because I'm glad to say it. There is coming a time there will be perfect government. There's coming a time there will be a theocracy upon this earth, theocratic rule of Christ. There's coming a time that the government will be absolutely perfect. Handel's Messiah will be realized fully when Jesus reigns himself. This star is a star out of Jacob. This star is a star born in Bethlehem. But also, as John points out in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 16, this star is a bright and morning star. This beautiful star of Bethlehem, I'm also quick to say, shines on every page of the Holy Scriptures. You find him everywhere. You find him throughout the Bible. You find him in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the passage we've looked at here. You find him throughout the Pentateuch. You find him in the historical books. You find him in the prophetic books. You find him in the music literature, Song of Solomon. You find him in the Psalms. You find him in the wisdom literature. You find him throughout Scripture. You find him in Matthew as the king. You find him in Mark as the servant. You find him in Luke as the Son of Man. You find him in John as the Son of God. You find him throughout Scripture. This star shines throughout the Word of God. This bright and morning star. This star out of Jacob. This star in the east. The wise men, the Magi we're talking about, they were students of astrology. They searched the heavens for the movement of stars. That's what they did. They were not magicians, nor were they kings, though they brought kingly gifts to the child king, which reflects a lot. The number's not really told. Christmas plays and Christmas pageants. And a lot of music talks about the three wise men. But the number is not told. Probably far more than three. The time of their arrival was not the night of the birth of Christ, but some weeks later. There was a wicked person living at that time, a political leader. His name was Herod. He was an Edomite. And he was troubled, and no doubt he feared an overthrow of the Roman rule by the fulfillment of the arrival of the anticipated Jewish Messiah. So, he was self-bent on destroying Christ. He was self-bent on making sure that the Messiah did not live. He wanted to know the time and the appearance of the star to pinpoint the age of the child. He gave them instructions to find Christ and report back to him because he wanted to worship him also. If there's ever a hypocrite in history, it was Herod. Him worshiping Christ, that's the biggest joke you can even think of. But that was what he said. The Magi, they came to where the Christ child was, and in seeing him and his mother, they worshiped him and they left, returning a different way, the Bible says. When they saw him, they fell down, worshiped him, and presented their gifts. We think of the gifts. We think of the types of gifts. We think of what the gifts reflected. The gold would remind us of his deity and majesty. The frankincense would remind us of the fragrance of his life. And the myrrh would remind us of the sacrifice and his death. The Bible says they went home a different way. They had been warned of God. They knew that was the wisest thing to do. I'm glad that I can report this morning that the Herods of this world will never harm God's Son. In spite of the attempt of the devil, in spite of the movements today, I want us all to understand, not that you don't already understand, no one will ever harm God's Son. It didn't happen then. It won't happen now. It will never happen. Never, never will it happen. The devil has tried to kill Christ, but will never succeed. So what? Think about this statement. So what if they take the nativity scene down? They'll never take God down. That's the point. They'll never remove Almighty God from the heavens. They'll never debase him. They will never destroy him. They will never undermine his ultimate authority because he is God. They can take every nativity scene down and every semblance of Christmas as we attempt to celebrate it, but God is and God will always be. We too, and I'll speak on behalf of Christians this morning in this building, we too have seen his star in a spiritual sense. In a devotional sense. We too have seen his star. And believe you me, he shines brighter than any planetary star in outer space, doesn't he? He's the joy of our life. He's the theme of this service. He's the one we sing about. He's the one we preach about. He's the one we are illustrating. Even in the decor of this building, when you stop and think about it, it's all about him. We've seen the star. We see more than the physical eye can see, actually. Our vision, child of God, is better than 20/20. I've had a few run-ins with eye doctors. Maybe that's not the proper word to use there. They worked on my eyes. If my count's right, I think I've had 4 eye surgeries. If you factor in the 2 cataract surgeries, if you factor in there was a gas or something that developed in an eye, so they had to go in and do that. Then if you factor in, and I'm talking about what they've told me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They said I had a wrinkle in my right eye. I started to ask the doctor, now, I don't think they'd make an iron small enough for me to iron out that wrinkle, do they? But then I had to go back in and get that other eye surgery done. So they tell me I've got 20/20 in my left eye, but no one's determined what my vision is in my right eye. I can only tell you this, when you have one eye that's messed up and the other eye is good, the bad eye still messes up the good eye. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning is sometimes you all are nothing more than a blur to me. Well, it's not quite that bad, of course. We preachers do exaggerate a little bit. I'm glad this morning that I can tell you I have better than 20/20 vision. I'm thinking of what Peter said. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have not seen his lovely face literally, but I see his lovely face throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. I see his heart of love in the Bible. I sense his presence. I know he's here. I know he loves me. I know he's a faithful God. I still see him in that respect. And that's better than 2020. Far better. Well, we look at this. Wonderful portion of Scripture, Old Testament passage of Scripture, talking about the Star of Jacob. We could say today, God's people could, we could shout out, "Do you see what I see?" That old song. Do you see what I see? We too have seen him. And here's another little devotional point I would also add. Like those magi, when we saw him, let's say when we focused our eyes upon him the first time in saving faith, when he saved our soul, praise God, we too went home a different way. I didn't go back to the slave market of sin. I didn't go back to the worldly crowd I had run with. I didn't go back to the drinking and the carousing around that I had done, and I'm not proud of that. No, I went home a different way. I went home washed in the blood. I went home a new creature in Christ Jesus. I went home saved by the grace of God. And now for over 50 years, it has been my delight to stand in pulpits like this and tell people, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I feel a whole lot like Brother Whittemore. By God's grace, I want my last days to be my best days. Oh, that's the least we can do. Isn't it a blessing going home a different way? I mean, the Bible is so packed full of great, tremendous devotional thoughts. The wise men, the magi, saw the young child. But they saw more than the young child. They saw God's Lamb too. They saw the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Mary indeed had a little lamb, didn't she? Mary had a little lamb. But also the lamb that Mary had is a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the lamb, but he's the lion. He is the conquering lion, and he will conquer one day. This little lamb was born in a little town. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 talks about that little town, Bethlehem. Little among the thousands, according to Micah chapter 5 verse number 2. This little lamb was God's lamb. This little lamb was born in a little town. But this little lamb came on the largest mission anyone's ever been on. John states it like this. John the Baptist actually makes the statement, and John records it in the Gospel of John. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Mary had a little lamb. The little lamb was a spotless lamb, without blemish or spot. And according to Peter, the little lamb, the lion, provides redemption through his precious blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. This star out of Jacob, I just spend my rest of my few minutes talking about the star out of Jacob. Already said a lot about that, but I'll say just in closing remarks, I'll give some kind of a form in the terms of an outline to the star out of Jacob. First of all, I would suggest this thought. The star out of Jacob is the Lamb of God, which I've already said, the Lamb of God. He's a fulfillment of prophecies. He's the answer to types. He's the seed of the woman. He's a conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. The star out of Jacob is a star of Bethlehem. He's the light of the world. He gives light to the darkened soul of believing sinners. That's who he is. The star out of Jacob. I will say this morning, this is kind of a side note. Since he is a lion of the tribe of Judah, since he is a star out of Jacob, I would quickly suggest this morning, since he is a star out of Jacob, the descendants of Jacob will never be destroyed. The star out of Jacob, God's son himself, by that title alone, we can assume today that all anti-Semitic movements would do well if they squelch it. Because the children of Jacob, the descendants of Jacob, will always exist. The star out of Jacob is a Lamb of God. The star out of Jacob is a Lord of glory. Lord of glory. I think of the story in the Bible, New Testament, of how the disciples had fished all night on the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection of Christ, and they had caught nothing. Vernon McGee said that's the only true fish story that's ever been told. They were restless. They were frustrated. They were tired. But the morning dawned, as the Bible tells us. And when the morning was now come, John chapter 21 verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. I could take that and run with it too. John said, it's the Lord. That's what John said. Well, yes, it was the Lord. He's the Lamb. He's the Lord. He's the light. So much more could be said. He's everything. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And believe you me, he's all in between too. That's who he is. He's the first and the last. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Prince over this earth. He's all powerful. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So much could be said about this Lord, this Lamb. Star of the tribe of Judah. Star of Jacob, Lamb of God. Star of Jacob, the Lord of glory. Star of Jacob. The star of Jacob is a light of this world. I refer you again back to Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2. The wise men said, we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I was thinking this morning, I churned out another little devotion to put on Facebook this morning, and I thought, when it comes to the world, when it comes to our earth, when it comes to the solar system, when it comes to the horizon of our sky, mornings are welcomed by the rising of the greatest star in our solar system, which is the sun. Sun arises in the eastern part of our horizon. Light is emanated from that sun. Not only light, but warmth results from that sun. Well, now you know where we'll go with this. What about the S-O-N? That sun has risen. That sun is alive. That sun lights up the soul. That sun gives warmth to the heart, to the soul. From the east. I believe he's destined to split the eastern sky, don't you? I believe he's coming back. I tell you, it's amazing to me. The older I live and the longer I serve God and the more I read this book, I find that everything really makes sense. You look at creation. You look at the arrival of seasons. Everything's in harmony. You look at the color of flowers in the spring. You listen to the songbirds singing. Everything that we see even in creation gives testimony to a wise, intelligent, almighty God. You can't look far without seeing him, really. Star out of Jacob is a light of the world. Many stars today make up the horizon of the world scene. As I've said, you have the movie stars, you have the athletes, you have the political stars, and all of those. But I will say the star of Christmas is a star of all stars. He's a star of Jacob. He's the day star. He's a bright and morning star. To the Magi, he was a star in the eastern sky. I'll return to a thought I just said a few minutes ago. Our sun rises in the east. I would mention the sun arose on Easter morning. Interestingly enough, the word Easter sound kind of weird if you didn't have the east on Easter too, wouldn't it? He mocked at death. He said, "Where's thy sting?" And in death's face, he said, "Where's your victory?" The star will one day split the eastern sky. He's the Lamb. He's the Lord. He's the life. And I close this morning with this point. He is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you have his life today? Can you go back to a time and pinpoint a time where you know God saved you and you have eternal life? Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, here we are now. What is this, the 10th day of December? Before we know it, it will be Christmas Day. I wonder, how's it going to be this year? Will history repeat itself? And here's what I mean by that. Christmas Day, that's track forward one day after Christmas. The day after Christmas, oftentimes a letdown, isn't it? Oftentimes a letdown. Broken toys, open boxes, torn packages, and in my case, as a kid, a broken cap gun. And in the case of my sisters, baby dolls without a crier. Kids go home. Trees are taken down. Boxes go back to the shed. Seemed like a long time coming, but it's soon gone. Depleted bank accounts. Happy merchants. Back to Kohl's or Walmart or customer service returns, of course. Back to work. New Year's. Anticipation of cold weather. We got two good cold months now after Christmas. Look forward to. I don't know about you, but January and February are not my favorite months of the year. In many cases, sadness and gloom. But hear me carefully. Christmas, the season is gone, but not the Savior. If he is born in our hearts, it's Christmas Day every day because he's the same forever. Every day brings fresh gifts from above. I like how Vance Havner put it. He said, once a year, Christmas on the calendar is precious, but there's no day after when we cannot say, Christ liveth in me. Think about that. There's not a day after. When Christmas is over, usually we have some regrets. We're usually not too happy with everything we get. There's a little bit of grumbling many times that takes place, and then what we like, we wind up breaking it or we mess it up. And it just becomes something else. And usually Christmas gifts, they wind up sticking on a shelf, many of them. We don't even look at them anymore. But there's never a day after Christmas for God's people when they cannot still say the greatest gift of all is still living in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'd rather have that gift, wouldn't you? You see, He is the Lamb, He's the Lord, He's the light, and He's alive. There's no day after Christmas, for every day is Christmas Day when the one born on Christmas Day resides in our hearts. Today, do you know Him? Do you know for sure today He's your Lord? He's your Savior. And can you say, Christ liveth in me? That's only salvation. That only salvation can do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment. This morning, I would say this is a wonderful time of the year. This is a time of the year that we love so dearly. We appreciate these Christmas songs, the choir music and the special music and everything about the year. We enjoy it. And it's been a blessing being here today. Our hearts have been thrilled. But I want to ask you today a question. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt Christ lives in you? Will this be another Christmas to simply live through and it'll be gone? Then after it's gone, it'll leave you with nothing but memories. Maybe some regrets. Oh yes, precious memories too. Family, friends. Yes, I see that fully. But will you go through this Christmas with full assurance? You know the one that Christmas is all about. Take another word, Christmas. How would that word sound without Christ? The word Christmas. Wouldn't have any meaning, would it? So today, are you saved? If you're here this morning in this church service and you're not 100% sure that Christ lives in you, because you do not know for sure you've been saved, would you be willing right now to be honest before God and say to Him, Lord, I know I'm lost. I need Christ as my Savior. And preacher, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? If you're here and you're not totally sure you're saved, God bless you. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Over here on the right, you may take your hand down. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anyone else in the service? Are there Christians today? You know you're saved. You can pinpoint a time that you were saved. But today, you're just getting so caught up in the rat race of the season. Maybe you just need to slow down and really capture the moment. Capture the season for what it's really worth. And you'd say, pray for me, preacher. As a Christian, just pray that God will help me to make 2023 as the best Christmas I've ever had, because by His help and grace, I want my eyes to be square upon Him. And just pray for me as a Christian. Anyone this morning, you just raise your hand and say, that's my prayer as a Christian. Anyone in the service. Now, Father, as we come to this invitation time, anyone right now who's not saved, I pray they would get saved today after hearing this message from Your Word, and it's Your Word that does it. Lord, today, for the one that indicated not being a Christian, may that person today be willing to come and accept Jesus as their Savior. Lord, bless this invitation. And God, help us right now to yield to what You would have us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.